In life, we all step up to the plate. Every kid dreams of hitting a home run, but that's not always easy. As kids, following rules is hard. Just like in baseball, God has a game plan for us. To run the bases the right way, so that we make the right choices, treat others with love, and do our best. Most importantly, we look to our parents as coaches, so that we learn the right way to live a home run life.
So good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one of you. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. We're talking about raising home run kids. So understanding what home run is, right? That's the idea of baseball, is to, that's the ultimate goal, is to score a home run. And so when we think about raising children or thinking about raising families, we've been talking about in this sermon series about raising kids and doing it well. Now, as you and I both know, if you're a parent in here, it's tough to raise kids. It's hard to raise kids. I mean, from the littlest ones all the way to the biggest kids, and then some. It's tough to raise kids. And so we have this really interesting job as parents. And so as we think about raising children, we really want to look to Scripture. We want to look to God to see how to do this thing called parenting. And so as we think about this, we're going to talk about this a little bit this morning, but we want to celebrate you moms today because it is Mother's Day, and we just get excited because I love Mother's Day because it's always on a Sunday, right? And we get to bring mom to church or kids, you get to come to church to be with mom, and then, you know, maybe you get to go out for lunch or something, whatever. I like Mother's Day, you know, celebrating my wife and celebrating my mother. It's just a great time. So I want to show you a quick video. And I just want to kind of give you an idea. I'll let the video speak for yourself. So let's take a look.
Just give me 1 second. Thank you. Sorry. Hey.
Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi. Good afternoon. Sorry about
that.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No.
Not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is gonna go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
And they meet every requirement,
oh,
don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Mom's a hand, right? So mothers, we thank you. You guys are so valuable. What a fun video. I thought I'd share that with you in celebration of you moms. And so we're going to talk about raising home run kids today. And so moms, dads alike, grandparents, even if you're in here and you're not a parent, you have a parent, right? And so this is going to apply. And so we want to talk about, as we go around this baseball diamond, we start at home plate. Obviously, we go to first base, and then we're going to second base. And so today, we're going to talk about raising relationally capable kids. This is when we raise our kids to love other people. This is that idea of raising children, telling how important it is when we think of others first. And this is one of those interesting things that even we as adults need to work on. We need to work on this as well. And so we're finding ourselves in Matthew chapter 7. And this is a teaching where Jesus is talking about how to really interact as Christians, how to treat each other. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. It's up there on the screen. You're welcome to turn to it as well. But it says, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets." And so as that verse 12 there, that very last statement, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do unto you. You've heard that before, I'm sure, if you've been in a church, you understand this idea and this concept. We're going to camp out here in verse 12 for a little bit and just talk about the idea that this idea that Jesus is telling us is everything for relationships. I mean, he's given us the key here. This is the key in relationships. Verse 12, do to others what you have them do to you. I mean, we understand this. I hope you get this. Like you know how you want to be treated. And so Jesus is simply saying, treat others the way that you want to be treated. And that's just like, it works. It makes sense. So this is how you do business. Like if you're a business owner in here today, if you're listening online and you're a business owner, this is the Jesus key to good business. Just do to those people, do to your clients, do to those customers, the idea of how you would like to be treated. Treat them just like that. This is how churches run well. In church, we're full of like we're just human people. We make mistakes. We're sinners. We mess up. We are people that are just we're a mess at times, right? Don't look at anybody and don't look at anybody else. Think about yourself. We're a mess. We're human. And so when we understand the fact that this works, this relationship way that Jesus is talking, is how we are to be acting toward each other. So Jesus said, if you go back in the Old Testament law, like the entire Old Testament, this small little sentence sums everything up. So today, Jesus is telling us out of Matthew chapter 7 that you can take a look at all of the laws, all of the things that we have to do in order to be righteous. Jesus said, I'm going to sum it up in a couple words. Just do unto others as you would have those people do unto you. That sums it all up. It's a beautiful, beautiful statement. And so this isn't about you. Relationships isn't about you. Teaching your children about doing good to other people, we have to teach them that it's not about them. You see, it doesn't have to be about you, but we need to be free to give ourselves away. You know, when you're hungry or when you're starving, you feel like I guarantee you, none of us in here have been really starving before. But when you're starving, you can imagine that you hoard all of the food that you have, or all of the food you can get a hold of, and you hoard it. And you think, I've got to have some more food. I've got to keep it for myself when you're starving. But you see, when you're full, when you're satisfied, when your hunger is satisfied, you don't have to hoard. You're giving things away. You're like, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm full. I mean, you ever done that in your family before? You know, like when you're sitting down to the dinner table and you're just like, you're so hungry. And you're just like, oh, I'm going to just eat. And somebody asks you can I get a bite of that? Can I try that? No way, man. I'm hoarding my stuff. Okay, you're looking at me weird, but that's how we do it at our house. When we're hungry, it's just like, no, man, this is mine. And so when you're satisfied, when you're full, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm good. You can have the rest, right? So that's the same thing with relationships. When we're empty of God, when we're empty in our soul, we're like, it's like we hoard ourselves. We are people that are selfish with our time. We're selfish, and we look at others like, no, you can't have any of me. But when we're full of God, when God fills us, and we're satisfied, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when we can give, and we can do unto others as you want to be treated. And so in this passage of Scripture, it's quite interesting that some people only go halfway. You know what I mean? So some people only go halfway. Do to others what you'd have them do to you. So what a lot of people do is just like they realize, like, this is how I want to be treated, so you treat me this way. They go halfway. And so we walk around thinking that, well, you should treat me this way because this is how I want to be treated. We talk to people. We have our relationships. Let alone, let's talk about marriage a little bit, shall we? Like in marriage, it's like, this is how I want to be treated. This is my requirements. So take note. This is what you should be doing for me. That's only going halfway. It's only going half the distance in a relationship, in a marriage, in a friendship. And so as we think of, as Jesus talks about this, there's one more half that we have to go. So first you have to learn how you want to be treated, number one, right? You have to learn how you want to be treated. But it's going the other half. It's going the other distance. It's teaching our children to go beyond just knowing how you want to be treated and then actually treat somebody else like that. Is this making sense this morning? And so we tend as Americans, we're like, listen, you know what? It's all about me. It's all about who I am. It's all about how you treat me. It's not about how we treat others. Jesus is not saying this. Jesus is saying that learn for yourself how you like to be treated and then treat somebody else like that. I mean, if when I put it that way, it's kind of like, wow, mind blown. This passage of Scripture is not just to learn how you want to be treated. It's about learning how we want to be treated and then actually applying it to someone else. Not applying it to you, applying it to somebody else. And so as Jesus teaches this, this is how to have, how to prepare our children, how to raise our families. And so when we demand others to treat me the way that we want to be treated, It says only going so far, but teaching our children to treat others the way that we want to be treated as well. So I have a couple of things I want to share as far as really three things that I want to share. I don't have them on the slide, so if you want to write these down, that'd be great. And so number one, we want to teach our children how to value people, right? We want to teach our kids how to value people. That's like giving respect where respect is due. When we teach our children to value others, that is so important. We as adults, we need to value people, even in our thoughts. Even in our thoughts. We need to value people even in our thoughts. Have you ever thought about somebody that's negative? Have you ever had bad thoughts about somebody that you just... Because guess what? Did you know that thoughts leak? Thoughts leak. They do. I mean, you can think bad about somebody, but guess what? After a while, it'll leak out some way, some shape or form. And so when we're teaching our kids, parents, they're watching you. They're listening to you. Because guess what? Your thoughts leak. Your negative thoughts about somebody leak. And it shares with your children, oh, yeah, I guess I should treat that person this way. Because mom and dad treat that person this way. I mean, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, talking amongst yourself as a family, and you just kind of go and you say, oh, what about this person? What about that person? And negative thoughts leak. And it's like, yep, guilty. Guilty as charged. And so when we respect people, we value people. You understand that God values people. People are difficult, right? Shake your heads, yes. You are difficult. Shake your heads, yes. I have to put a smile on my face for that one. I'm difficult. Don't shake your heads, yes. I am difficult. We're humans. We're difficult people, right? I mean, it's like when we come together, we can be difficult to deal with. We are just, our faults and our weaknesses come out at times, and some uglier than not, and sometimes it just brings out things that we're just not proud of because people are difficult. I love this passage of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3. I mean, this is something that we've got to remind ourselves time in and time out every single day. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says this, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Wow, let me just stop there. Make allowance for each other's faults. What's an allowance? Like we were talking earlier about like budgeting and stuff, and you remember how to budget, like the old way of like putting your paycheck into an envelope system, right? And so I was talking to my son the other day about this. It's like making sure that you take your paycheck and you take X amount of dollars and put it in this envelope for this envelope for this, and this envelope for this. That's a budgeting system. It's simple, old school, but it makes sense for those who are learning how to budget. An allowance for something in your life is something you pay forward, you pay into. You have an allowance. You put into the envelope. And so the Bible says, put it in your budget. Put it in your budget for other people's faults. You like that? I like that. It makes sense to my mind. So in other words, prepare ahead. Plan ahead for somebody to tick you off. Right? Just get ready. Because Pastor Jim's going to make you mad one of these days. So put it in your allowance. Put it in your... And so when you need to withdraw some kindness, it's already there. You know, we're gonna make each other mad. We're gonna, you know, rub each other wrong. It's gonna happen. It's going to happen. So we wonder why we're like, oh man, that person made me so upset. Oh, that person frustrates me so much. But if it's in our allowance, we'll just go, oh, I need to dip into my kindness budget and just offer some kindness. And as I'll read on in this passage, it says, make allowance for each other's faults. So prepare, it's gonna happen. And it says, forgive. anyone who offends you. Forgive anyone who offends you. And then it goes on, and it kind of just goes, and it just, here's the aha moment, like the holy cow, drop the mic moment, because it says, remember the Lord forgave you. Right? So I'm telling you, let's pause about parenting just for a second, but people, the Lord forgave you, so offer forgiveness to somebody else. In other words, build a bridge and get over it. Can we just say that? Build a bridge and get over it. Because the Lord forgave you of what a mess you are and all of the mistakes that I've made, and he's forgiven me. And so make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Wow, I can be done. That's good. That's good right there. Because, and so parents, if we're not teaching our children this, if you're teaching them dissension, if you're teaching them gossip, if you're teaching them your anger and bitterness that's from generation to generation to generation, be a chain breaker and forgive and get over it. Forgive and get over it. Because God values people. And we need to value people, even in our thoughts. We need to value people with words. With our words, we need to value people. You know, when you're raising kids, when we were raising our kids, I'm so thankful my whole stinking family's here today, so that's awesome. All of them, man, they fill up a whole row. Except my son-in-law, of course, my lovely son-in-law. So we raised our kids not to say certain words, right? I mean, mom and dad, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like we just don't say those words. And some of, like, you guys probably help me out, but, like, I hate you. That did not fly in our house. Like, I don't care how much they frustrated you. I don't care how much anger you have just boiling over. If you said I hate you, I mean, whoa, you just don't go there. That was one of those words. That was a phrase we never, ever, ever allowed in our house. You know, a couple other ones, what, like, you're stupid. You know, we just had values of, like, you're not allowed. Oh, yeah, now they say, oh, you're stupid. That was not one. Yeah, it was totally one. We're like, you're never allowed to say you're stupid, because we just want to make sure that we're encouraging. We'd go around the table. We'd go around the dinner table when they're younger. It's like, okay, say three nice things about the person on your right, you know, and all that fun stuff. They hated that garbage. They hated it, but we made sure that they were lifting each other up and that we were using our words to value each other, right? And so as we were raising them, we're like, okay, say two nice things, three nice things, whatever it was, and they'd always use the same thing. You have nice hair. You play good soccer. And I like your shirt. And they'd go around, and they would do that. They'd say the same thing. I'm like, can you guys get a little more creative? Okay, I like your pants. You know, but you know what? The fact is that we wanted to raise our kids to value with words, value others with words. And so as we think about that, have teach your children to value others, to have respect for people. Number two, to show compassion. We wanted our kids to show compassion. Parents, teach this to your children, to show compassion for other people. You know, taking those actions to be kind to other people, to value them. You know, this is simple. This can be easy as, like, teaching your sixth grader, you know, teaching your sixth grader to be kind to the fifth grader. You know, in school, it can be simple as saying, hey, make sure that you are being kind to that person that has no friends, showing compassion. We've got to teach this stuff because it doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen naturally with adults. And so we've got to teach this stuff at home to show compassion on people that are not like us or don't have any the same interests in us or people who need love. I remember one of our kids, I won't take their blessing away, But we were driving downtown one time. It was downtown Detroit, and we were driving through, and we came to a stoplight. And there was a homeless man, you know, with a sign like this going up and down the cars as the stoplight stopped all the cars. And he's holding a card, and he's saying, "Homeless, anything helps." You've seen that person before, I'm sure. And one of my kids said, "Dad, roll the window down." And I looked at my wife. I said, "No, we're in Detroit. This is where you lock your doors, you keep your windows up, and you stay looking forward." Especially when the car stopped. And I don't know, what was he? Or 10 years old, maybe, somewhere in there. He said, "Dad, just come on, just roll my window down in the back seat." And I roll the window down, and he's holding out a couple dollars. And he gives this homeless person his last $2. And I'm like, "All right, good job, way to go." I mean, I don't think I taught him that. It was Holy Spirit just completely flooded over him with compassion for a person who was in need. You see, church, we can still value people without embracing their values. Did you know that? Like, we can still value people. We can show compassion to people without embracing their sin. And unfortunately, the church of old has kind of said, no, if we value people, that means we value their sin. Therefore, we can't value those kind of people, so we rid them and shun them and get rid of them in our circles of spheres of influence. And so we have got to, as a church, be willing to say, "I'm going to go against that," and teach our children to value people, to show compassion. No matter what, as a Christian, we're to show compassion no matter what they're doing, no matter who they look like, no matter what color hair they have, no matter what kind of clothing they're wearing, no matter if they're a drug dealer or a drug addict or alcoholic or homeless. Do you see the point? And so, church, we can value people. We can show compassion without embracing their sin. And we've got to remember that. We've got to teach our children that God loves everyone, and so should we. And so we need to show compassion on everyone. You know, we don't want to believe the lie as a church, as Christians. We don't want to believe the lie that if we value people, somehow we're taking part in what they believe. I can spend some time here because our society is full of things that we as Christians don't believe in. Our society is just erupting with things that are not our values. They're not our Christian values. Our society is erupting left and right in the school systems, on television, in media, with the things that we don't value as Christians. But it doesn't give us a right to be disvaluing who they are as a person and who God has meant for them to be. And so we as Dighton Church, that's why we're planting a church in Cadillac. I mean, that's why we're deciding to say we need to go to them because they'll never come into the church here. We need to go to them. And future plans, Lord willing, is to go to somewhere like Luther, to come to somewhere, you know, go to somewhere like Marion, McBain, and go to those people with compassion. That's why we believe in church planting. And so, would you pray for compassion in your heart? Would you pray for compassion for your children? That someday that you can raise children that are full of compassion and that they would value people for who they are and show love in Jesus' name. And so thirdly today, is some of the third qualities that I'm going to share with you today is making friends, telling your children to make good friends. right? That's a huge, huge, huge thing, to make good friends. So you have a big circle friends and little circle friends, right? Big circle are those people like acquaintances. You know, your kids go to school with them, that kind of thing. But then there's those small, those tighter friends that kind of in the core. And that's the kind of friends that we need to encourage our children to build up, is that inner circle of friendship. Encourage them, because friends make a difference. Friends make a difference in that inner circle. And so, mom and dad, it's okay. It's okay to intervene. It's okay to intervene in your kids' choice of friendship. Because the inner circle are those friends that make help your kids make those bad decisions or good decisions. Friendship is very, very important. Friendships in the inner circle, it's that sense of give and take, and they're doing what you say, and we've got to be careful of that inner circle. And so, parents, it's okay to be involved in your friendship choices. And so as we kind of close out today, there's a lot that has been said. There's a lot of things, like, as parents we need to work on, myself included. There's a lot of things that we as Christians need to work on, myself included. Like there's some things that God is teaching us and showing us and allowing us to wrestle with a little bit. But valuing people, having respect for people, showing compassion with others. So I want us to take this moment and take this time to seek after God and His Holy Spirit and the direction that He has you to move into. Is there something that He's spoken to you today? Is there something that He's working on in your life? Is there something that God's kind of saying, ooh, yeah, that's a rough area for you? I want you just to kind of pray about that this morning. So we're going to go to prayer, and then we're going to sing another song as we close together our time today. And so just seek God right now. If you need help, go to the Creator. Go to the Maker of parenting, our Heavenly Father. You know, can I just say this? Isn't it cool that God didn't describe Himself as the heavenly tree or the heavenly planet or the heavenly being? Or no. He's the Heavenly Father. He could have chosen any name for Himself. He's the Creator, but it's the Heavenly Father. It's an example for us to show that parenting is so vital and so very important. So go to the Heavenly Father right now and just ask for help. Say, oh God, I need You. Oh God, I need Your help. I'm not doing well with parenting or whatever it is. Just throw it out to Him. He hears you right now, right where you are. Let's pray together.